One of my favorite TV shows is The Vicar of Dibley. And it's set in a small town in England and centers around the life of a church community as they navigate how to be in ministry with their energetic vicar, or what we would call a pastor, who is played by Don French. In the first season of this show, there's an episode titled The Christmas Lunch Incident. And it opens with a conversation between the vicar and her assistant, the verger, whose name is Alice. Now, as they decorate the Christmas tree, they chat about what they're looking forward to this Christmas. And Alice says that she is really looking forward to the vicar's first Christmas sermon. She says, "It'll be an experience I never forget." To which the vicar says, "Alice, my first Christmas sermon was last Christmas." Alice sheepishly pipes up, "Oh yeah, I forgot. But it's probably your fault. You probably just chose a boring subject." To which the vicar defensively responds, "The birth of Jesus Christ, otherwise known as the greatest story ever told." And without missing a beat, Alice replies, "Well, yeah, the first time you hear it. But afterwards, it's a bit predictable, isn't it? Man and woman get to inn. Inn is full. Woman has baby in manger. Angels sing on high, blah, blah, blah." You know, comedy at its best reveals truth that we often don't admit out loud. And that can be true about Christmas. We love our rituals. We look forward to the traditions, and we often long for those Christmas highs when we feel like we've gotten it all right. But when it comes to the Christmas story, if we get honest with ourselves, we do tend to treat it with a bit of predictability. Man and woman get to inn. Inn's full, woman has baby in manger, angels sing on high, blah, blah, blah. It can be hard to genuinely keep it alive as the greatest story ever told, especially after we've heard it almost 100 times. And yet, at the same time in our hearts, we intuitively know it is the greatest story ever told because we've heard it 100 times. But in order to keep things a little bit fresh this Christmas, in order to allow the story to come to life in its own way, I thought it might be helpful that we use a few lenses to look at our Christmas story, and I thank our students for doing that in our earlier poetry reading with the artwork that they also made themselves. But I've also asked Miss Amber and the Crosswinds kids to help out a little bit this Christmas Eve. Last Sunday, they shared a few things in worship, and they had so much Christmas cheer that I have asked them to do a little second act. And in just a moment, we are going to watch a video where our children tell us a little bit about what that first Christmas was like. So let's take a look at why this is the greatest story ever told.
When was the first Christmas?
A few months ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
45
years. Years ago? Okay. What do you think the angels looked like?
A white bird with wings.
What does that look like?
It has a circle at the top.
Wings?
They look like they have a robe on, a white robe, with a golden bell, and this, like, crown that floats.
Yeah.
And they have golden wings.
They look like snowflakes. They look like butterflies. Those snowflakes.
How did the shepherds react when those angels appeared?
Surprised.
When the shepherds were scared, why do you think the angel, what did the angel say to calm them down?
Go to Jesus.
Go to Jesus.
How many wise men came to see baby Jesus?
I don't know. Three.
Maybe like 5 or 12.
Three?
And what kind of gifts did they bring to him?
Presents.
What?
In the room. Kids.
If you...
Presents?
Toy where babies can use until he grows up.
If you could give baby Jesus a gift, what would it be?
A pet?
A toy.
A puppet.
A cookie.
A puppet.
I would give him a baby toy.
A hug.
Love.
Love.
Yeah, love.
Yeah, love. I can't top that, sorry. That's the wonderful thing about Christmas, how our children can remind us and renew in us how special Christmas was and how important it still is for us today. And when we spend time today and tomorrow reflecting on that first Christmas, and that time that Jesus was born, I hope that, like our children, you also spend some time wondering and imagining what things were like. After all, our scripture readings often leave out a lot of details, and it's through traditions or artistic interpretations over centuries that we're given impressions of answers to questions like, what did the angels look like, or how many wise men were there? And those traditions are very important to get us started, and they help enrich our wisdom and our knowledge. But as we all grow in our faith, I think it's important for us to spend time in the Bible to see what else we can discover for ourselves. And so today, I want to take just a couple minutes to go back to our Bible story, especially after having the children remind us about that first Christmas, to pay attention particularly to that scene between the shepherds and the angels, and hear how God may be speaking to each and every one of us this day. Now, the gospel according to Luke describes that particular shepherd scene like this. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them, the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great assembly of heavenly forces was with God, with the angel praising God. And they said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." In the middle of that night, on the first Christmas when Jesus was born, we are told in the Bible that shepherds were out doing their jobs. And although this particular scripture doesn't say who the shepherds were or how many there were, there are some things that we have learned about shepherds because of other Bible stories. Sometimes shepherds were adults, both men and women. In particular, women were often shepherds. And if you look at the books of Genesis or Exodus, you'll see a number of stories where women were out doing the shepherding work before they were married. But sometimes shepherds were even kids or teenagers. I kind of feel like it's a little bit like a babysitting job. And we have stories like David. Before he became the most famous king of the Old Testament, he was out working as a shepherd. And so although in our scripture from Luke, we don't know who was present, what is that shepherd group, you could very well imagine men or women, kids or teenagers. It could have been a mix of just about anyone. It was also understood in those days that the job of shepherding didn't have much social rank or earn much money, even though it was a job that was greatly needed. So for the folks hearing this story, it would be quite strange that such a heavenly proclamation about an important Savior would be announced to people who were considered rather peripheral. After all, in those days, if you had an important announcement like this, it should have been given in royal halls. But as the angels shared, this news was wonderful, joyous news for all people. And God is fond of making a point, often flipping our expectations and being clear about how the world should work, not necessarily how we have constructed it. So in that first Christmas, we are reminded, especially by our shepherds, that God is determined to reach out and include everyone, especially people who feel unseen, overlooked, or undervalued. God comes first, bringing good news to you. This Savior is for you and with you. Now, speaking about proclamation of good news, I want to take a little time also talking about the angels today. We had our students come up with some ideas of what they think the angels would look like, and the Bible is often rather silent about what an angel looks like or might describe it in very different ways. One of the things we do know about in the Bible is that really just another word for angel is messenger. So in some Bible stories, angels are even mistaken as people because they're just kind of like out to share some news from God. Sometimes angels even have names like Gabriel or Michael, and we often personally picture them with wings or halos, and they may or may not have those things, but the important thing to remember about angels is that they are messengers from God. We do know in our Christmas story that the angel of the Lord came with style, because it says when he showed up, the Lord's glory shone around him, and it terrified the shepherds, which is why he had to say, "Don't be afraid." Side note, I tend to think personally that angels tend to look a little scary, because have you ever noticed that most of the time when they show up, they say, "Don't be afraid." I promise. And we hear in this Christmas story that there wasn't just one angel, but there was a heavenly host of angels. Now, often we imagine them flying around in the sky, but the Bible just simply says they appear, and it doesn't really explain what they look like or what exactly they're doing, but they are described as shouting out something very important. They say to the shepherds, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." And we know that although the shepherds were originally terrified by the angel of the Lord, through the encouragement of the angel's words as well as the heavenly host, the shepherds are filled with a sense of wonder. And they go to see what had happened. And they find the baby Jesus. And just like the angels, they too wind up leaving, glorifying and praising God, because they saw that the good news was true and they could see it for themselves. I think about what a gift it would have been like to be part of that shepherding group on that first Christmas, to be able to see the angels and see the baby Jesus firsthand, the arrival of an anticipated Savior. And I think about how even though we weren't there that first Christmas, that each and every Christmas, God hopes and wishes for us, like the shepherds, that we are able to experience moments where we too hear the angels say to us, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. For unto you a child is born." You know, at Christmas, we hear a lot about those wishes that God had and has for us in our world. especially a lot about the wish for peace on earth. In the Bible, there's a lot of time spent talking about peace. And I think the simplest way to describe a biblical understanding of peace is this sense of taking something that is broken or missing and finding a way to restore it to wholeness. Often that means including, involving, and making sure we're working together harmoniously as a team. And the wonderful thing about Christmas is that God doesn't leave that wish for peace with the baby Jesus himself. In fact, Christmas isn't even here to celebrate that the world is a peaceful place. If that was the case, we wouldn't even need Christmas. Christmas is about the fact that there is suffering, there is pain, and we do experience violence in our world. And Christmas recognizes and reminds us that in the midst of darkness, when daylight disappears and the world turns bitterly cold, that God chooses to be with us, leading in ways of peace, by moving into our neighborhood and doing something about it, and showing us what that peace looks like through Jesus, but also reminding us that we are invited into God's story to be peacemakers too, through the real tangible work that we do together. And so this Christmas, as we worship God together, I do find my heart giving glory to God in the highest as I celebrate the ways that this community of faith is working toward the ways of peace. And if you happen to be a guest here this evening, either in person or you're worshiping with us online and maybe just checking out to see if you should stop on by, I hope you do stop on by, because I want to invite you into the work of this church as we make a way for peace. In this coming year in particular, we are going to find ourselves in the midst of an extraordinary opportunity, new ways to show glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to all, not only through our established ministries, but through the new ministries that will be possible as we continue to work on our capital campaign projects, most especially as you begin seeing the construction of our new commercial kitchen starting in just a few weeks. It is going to be an exciting time. It is going to be a really messy time. But above all, I know it is going to be a glorious time. So this Christmas, as we celebrate with the shepherds and the angels, let us take time today in our worship to give glory to God in the highest, and recommit our lives to bringing peace on earth. Merry Christmas, everyone.